Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague and friend, Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman, CBS News Dickinson College visiting professor, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. We go immediately to remarks by the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of War, Mr. Hegseth, about nuclear testing. I mentioned that there is a treaty and there's an understanding about nuclear testing. There has not been a test underground for the United States since the early 90s. The Soviets, now Russians, can match that rate. In fact, at the end of the first Cold War, there was cooperation between the United States and Mr. Yeltsin's government in Moscow to remove the nukes that remained from the Cold War of the Soviet Union. It was understood that they were controlling loose nukes. Well, the loose nukes now are part of the conversation, but they're not loose anymore. They're in the hands of major actors, Russia, and now the United States. Mr. Hegseth has remarked, following ambiguous remarks by the President of the United States, that nuclear testing of weapons will make nuclear war less likely. That's the quote, less likely. Jeff, this is flabbergasting. Nuclear weapons are in control right now, but testing them again will unleash a demon that no one controls. You were trained to fight the first Cold War. What was the opinion of the military men who taught you of nuclear weapons and what they would mean on the combat environment? Good evening to you, Jeff.
Good evening to you, John. Well, it was going to be the last resort in terms of conflict. And of course, we created an arsenal that in one time exceeded 36,000 nuclear weapons, those being strategic weapons as well as down to small tactical weapons that I actually commanded. And the belief would be that if we failed in our conventional defense, particularly of Western Europe, we would then resort to tactical nuclear weapons to serve two purposes. One, try to reverse that conventional defeat. And number two, send a clear message to the Soviet Union and its allies that the United States and its allies on the West were willing to escalate to the use of nuclear weapons. But the great fear was that escalation would be rapid and we'd see a breakdown of command and control and then an expansive use of nuclear weapons on both sides, which would be catastrophic for everyone. I'll just give you one example, John, that I've seen in computer testing or of wargaming, and that is India and Pakistan together have about 300 nuclear weapons. They are adversaries, had a very short war earlier this year, which fortunately did not escalate to nuclear weapons. I've seen war games where a limited exchange by those two countries of perhaps 50 weapons or so on each side would result in several million people dying immediately and perhaps up to 1 billion people dying in the aftermath due to the nuclear winter that would stretch across most of Asia and Southeast Asia and therefore result in massive starvation. Underscoring how even a small use of a limited number of weapons, not the thousands that we still maintain, would have catastrophic effects, not only for the countries involved, but for the wider world.
The remarks by the Secretary of Defense do not evidence to me, and he has read the same documents I have read over these last years and over these last months, because this story comes up now and again. There is testing in computers constantly by the Los Alamos Lab and the Livermore Lab, the two pieces of the nuclear deterrence. They are confident the weapons work. They are confident that in the computer they can manufacture everything you need to do and more in an actual test. Nobody tests above ground. That's been banned since the 1960s. But underground testing, the U.S. did, and the George H.W. Bush administration at the end. There is no reason to test a weapon if it works now, other than a demonstration of some kind of hubris. So I read the remark of the Secretary of Defense and puzzle. We would work with Department of Energy, but the president was clear that we need to have a credible nuclear deterrent. That is the baseline of our deterrence. And so having understanding and resuming testing is pretty responsible, very responsible way to do that. He adds, I think it makes nuclear conflict less likely if you know what you have and make sure it operates properly. So it's the directive. Jeff, the secretary might have documents that I've never seen, but these remarks suggest to me that he's winging this, that he's not been briefed on the testing of nuclear weapons, which is constant. They maintain a very keen control of everything working. It has to, but they do not need to test. That is a very small opinion in the government and a very small opinion outside the government. I know I'm restating this repeatedly, but this is flabbergasting, Jeff.
Without a doubt, John, what really worries me the most or shocks me the most is it clearly underscores that not only does the Secretary of Defense, and I'm sorry, he will always be Secretary of Defense to me, absent congressional action, and sadly, the President of the United States do not understand nuclear weapons, nuclear strategy, and nuclear weaponry overall. The initial statement by the President was somewhat convoluted because it was unclear whether he was talking about testing warheads or testing launchers, because it came in the aftermath, of course, of the announcement by the Russian Federation that they had tested a new long-range nuclear-powered cruise missile, but that was just a missile, not a warhead, and also tested a so-called long-range nuclear-equipped torpedo, but not the warhead. And we routinely test our ICBMs. In fact, I think there's one scheduled this week out of Vandenberg, and we notify other countries when a long-range ICBM test of a launcher, missile, bomber, et cetera, is going to be conducted. So it was unclear at first what the president was talking about or did he know. He seemed to clarify that in a 60 Minutes interview that he was talking about warheads. And then he said that we're going to do that because other countries are doing that. Well, since he made that statement, John, despite what the Secretary of Defense says, the Secretary of Energy says, no, they're not, in testimony. And the new STRATCOM commander, who is being confirmed, said, we have no evidence of the Chinese, Russians, or others actually conducting tests. And then finally, of course, the president directed the Department of War, as he calls it, to conduct these particular tests, which is wrong. They don't do that. Those are conducted by the Department of Energy and the National Nuclear Security Administration. And then last but not least, John, of course, the president says, and the secretary endorsed this idea, that these tests should begin immediately. Well, there's a problem with that, John, and that is under the Trump administration and the DOGE process, hundreds, if not thousands, of NNSA employees who would be the ones to conduct such a test have all been fired. And the NNSA has suffered a traumatic cut in its budget. So I don't know how you do that when the people to do that have been fired by the same administration, number one. And even under the best of circumstances, my colleagues who are experts on this say it would take the United States at least 18 months to conduct the test. Last but not least, this would make for a safer world is preposterous. Our adversaries, the Russians, the Chinese, who are expanding their arsenal, would benefit by a return to testing, and they would do so immediately. India and Pakistan would conduct tests. And the last country to conduct the test, which was North Korea in 2017, would obviously conduct the test as well. So I think you give the secretary much credit, John, by saying he's read the same documents that you have, because I think he has very little understanding at all of this. And all he's trying to do is cover the tracks for the president, who made a statement that was, first of all, unclear and wrong in at least three or four places.
Venezuela, the fleet gathered between Venezuela's coastline and Puerto Rico is overwhelmingly powerful, overwhelming. It's ready to take on planet Mars, I've been telling the public, Jeff, for some time. The Gerald Ford with an air wing of F-18s, backed up by B-52s and B-2s and F-35s in Puerto Rico. At this point, they've taken Roosevelt Roads, an old Navy refit station in Puerto Rico, and turned it into base camp for an operation that I can only guess as has a name already in all caps. This looks like they're looking to remove Maduro and establish credible garrisoning of the country because they're dealing with narco-terrorist gangs that are well-armed and are going to resist. At the same time, the opposition led by Ms. Machado and Mr. Gonzalez, the elected president, Mr. Gonzalez in 2024 are encouraging the U.S. to move. My concern, Jeff, I'm a non-military man, I just read history, is the Bay of Pigs went horrible, and Panama was okay, although it was messy. The opportunity for mistakes are very large when you put this size of force into action. The Navy, the Army, the Air Force, you were all built to kill people and take continents. That's not a precision weapon. What are your concerns, Jeff?
My concerns is the day after and what exactly is the mission here. And it seems clear that that mission is far beyond just stopping narco-terrorists. Reports are out from the New York Times right now that the administration is developing options for direct military action against Venezuela, which would underscore the size of the military flotilla that you described so well. And that might include direct attacks against the military units that are protecting President Maduro and actually movement by the U.S. military to take control of the oil fields. But this is a fairly large country, so we're talking about a significant military force. And you and I also remember the other intervention, John, and that was the one into Iraq when we were told there would be rose petals in front of the tanks. And 10 years later, it never looked like that. So as Colin Powell said to George Bush as they were preparing for that invasion, remember the Pottery Barn theory. Once you break it, you bought it. So if you can move in there and, in fact, take control of the country, which is problematical, remember that you're going to stay there for an indefinite period of time, and there's not going to be this quick transfer to Machado and a new government that would allow you to leave. Last but not least, there's some serious legislative and legal questions here. Mr. Trump now is beyond the 60 days of conducting military operations authorized by the War Powers Resolution. He claims right now that he's not involved in hostilities because no U.S. military personnel are directly threatened. But many congressmen and senators on both sides of the aisle say authorization has to come from Congress to conduct any more operations beyond this date. And certainly a wide-ranging operation where we invade this country would require congressional authorization, which I have serious doubts the president could obtain.
My concern also is that there are other tools that can be used, such as maximum pressure, such as sanctions, such as making a deal with Maduro to leave peacefully and go into exile. Well, I don't know. Perhaps they're engaging all those methods, but I don't hear about it, Jeff. And they tell us everything they're doing. I don't believe behind the scenes they were being peaceful, and in front of the public they're being warrior scale. Jeff, that force, what are they thinking? It's not just overwhelming, it's grotesquely overwhelming.
Yeah, John, this is basically taking a 20-pound sledgehammer to try to kill one ant. I mean, I just don't see how you do this. And they even describe their strikes on the narco-terrorist boats as being done by drones. I don't know what you use an F-35 for in that particular regard. And oh, by the way, we only have so many resources. So right now, the Gerald Ford was moved out of operations in the Mediterranean. It was off Croatia. So we do not have a carrier battle group in the European theater or the Mediterranean. That at a moment where you and I both know, because we've talked about it a great deal, John, we have this very precarious ceasefire in Gaza that involves not only Gaza, but obviously challenges in Lebanon, challenges in Syria, and challenges with Yemen. And we have now moved that force to the Caribbean for what reason, unless we are planning a full wholesale invasion of the country?
We're going to go to Gaza. Colonel Jeff McCausland, the United States Army retired, CBS News, Dickinson College, Diamond 6 Leadership and Strategy. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.